بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Man, what are we doing here today?
So today we're going to be talking about dealing with low points in Iman and how we can reflect on our actions to put ourselves in a position to be followers of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And the reason I bring this topic up is because I listened to a khutbah the other day and I realized our podcast is not like a normal podcast. You know, normal podcasts, you know, they have like normal conversations. They, you know, ask questions, get answers. But us, we sit here giving reminders for the entire duration of, you know, each episode, which is why I feel like people resonate with us. So giving people reminders in a way that when we're dealing with low iman, because, you know, we're all human. And what happens when we're at a low point in iman? We may be committing a sin that we're not sure of. We may have fallen short in some aspect of our life. And when we can notice that low point in iman, that's iman in itself.
Exactly. That is such a blessing, because what do we talk about like often, especially as of recently, being heedless. Being heedless is honestly such a great fear of mine, because, you know, that could be your ultimate downfall. That could be your ultimate devastation, right? Is being heedless. You're going to go out throughout the land and you might not necessarily know what you're doing, but in reality, you're just destroying yourself. And I think that's something that we should all fear. You know, when we talk about, you know, ittaqillah, right? Like have fear in Allah. It's fear of losing that connection with Allah. You know, not in a matter of, okay, yeah, Allah, like if I commit a sin, he's going to strike me with a lightning bolt. But it's the fact that when you love someone a lot, you don't want to do anything that's going to disrespect them. You don't want to lose that connection with them. And it works the same exact way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's your Lord and you actually, you know, you care about that and you recognize that, then you would not want to do anything to sacrifice that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Like, exactly. You would never. So when you think about things that you have in life, whatever this world offers you, nothing is worth losing your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over that thing. Nothing in this world is worth it. No person, no material item, nothing is worth that connection you have to Allah. And the blessing of having a connection to Allah is, for one, you can't even see it. You can't see that connection. You can only feel it. The same way you can only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even though you don't see him. You're supposed to worship him as if you do see him. And if you can't, then you know that he sees you, right? That's ihsan. And one of the things that you should always be asking Allah is to be able to worship him with ihsan. And if you don't know what that means, then you have to go learn it. That's one thing that's prescribed upon you. Learn what having ihsan means. Just to know that, oh, I worship Allah as if I see him, that's not enough. What does that mean to be able to see Allah? Like when you go to ask dua, you can really like envision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right in front of you and you're speaking to him directly. Because then what happens when you're asking that dua? There's going to be a lot more emotion behind it. When you see that Allah's like, you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right in front of you. He's hearing every single thing you're saying and he's giving a response in real time, right then and there. The same way when you're praying, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right in front of you. You know that when you go to say Allahu Akbar, you're acknowledging Allah right in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he hears you right then and there. It's not like you're praying and Allah's going to answer you later. He's answering you every single ayah that you recite in Surah Al-Fatiha. Every single time you say Subhana Rabbil Azim, he's acknowledging what you're doing right now.
And on the complete other hand of that, know that when you're doing a sin, let's say you have someone that you respect a lot, like let's say it's your parents, you know, your friends, you would not do such an atrocious thing right in front of them. But when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, when you're by yourself and you're just sitting there like ready to commit something bad, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you right now. And like, you know, just the thought of that should, you know, skew you away from what you're doing.
I want to go back to what Hussein said. When you say Allahu Akbar in prayer, and this really something that helped me with ihsan, and it was an advice from like an older person that I got. When you say Allahu Akbar, what does this mean? It means Allah is greatest. At this moment, everything now is little. Mm-hmm. Everything else is irrelevant at this moment. And then when you recite the Fatiha, and then when you recite the words of Allah, the Quran, if you think about it when you're reciting, because this happens all the time, we be listening to the Quran and we're like, dude, this is the words of God. Sit down, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like, imagine what the Sahaba or what the Prophet was feeling when these words were set down, these powerful words. When Allah says that Allah and His Messenger must prevail in the Quran, like things like this, and imagine what they must feel when God reinforces your, like the ideas like that, you know?
Yeah, That's facts. Like whenever I'm praying, right? And let's say I'm lacking in focus. And this is something that I think can help other people. It's just those thoughts, you know, those reflections that I have that Allah is greater than my recitation of the Quran. Me acknowledging Allah is the greatest does not make Allah any more greater. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
It's like, for yourself.
Exactly. So it's me acknowledging Allah's greatness because then he's going to respond to me when I'm acknowledging him in that. When I'm asking him to guide me upon the straight path and I'm asking with sincerity, then I know I'm going to be guided. But if I'm asking ihdina sirat al-mustaqim because I've done it a million times over, but I'm just thinking about that test that I'm going to have to do tomorrow and I'm being nervous about if I'm going to pass it or not, then what reason do you compel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you upon the straight path, like, if you're not thinking about that guidance and how great it really is?
Yeah. Imagine, have you ever asked yourself, why does Allah, it's mandated for us to ask Allah ihdina sirat al-mustaqim in every single prayer, in every single raka'ah? Why do we have to keep repeating ourselves? It's because we know, like al-insan yunsa, you said that, like mankind forgets and we need to be reminded. We need to be guided to the straight path.
And it also, when the reason why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us upon the straight path, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times every single day in every obligatory prayer, is because it affirms this one hadith. And it's the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, when he said, the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are consistent, even if they are few.
Mm.
The most consistent deed that we do on a daily basis that is obligatory upon us is asking Allah to guide us upon the straight path.
And the deeds that Allah loves the most is the ones he's made fard upon you, right? Greater than any sunnah that we have. Because if Allah loved the sunnah prayers more than the fard, then he would have, you know, made those fard upon us. But no, the sunnah is obviously, you know, an option onto us, but the fard, like, you have to do it. Because these are the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's 100% facts. And you don't even adopt the sunnah until you've adopted the fard.
Exactly.
Like, Allah won't even give you that opportunity, because look, the sunnah is something that the Prophet did, right? And the Prophet is our best example. He's the most beloved to Allah. And he did those sunnahs not out of his own like will, but because, you know, he wanted to be the closest to Allah, and nobody was closer to Allah than him.
Yeah, this is substantiated by the Quran, because the Prophet did not act out of his own desire. And this mm-hmm. is said, this is revealed to us.
Right, so you're not going to adopt any type of sunnah, no matter what it is. If it's just saying Bismillah before you eat, if it's, you know, praying the night prayer or anything, until that you've adopted the fard, because the fard, everything that you do, every act of worship is by the permission of Allah. It's granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he chose you to be able to do this. You know, there's some people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the title of Muslim to. So they go out saying, oh, I'm Muslim. But on the day of judgment, they may be hypocrites. But if you're given the ability to be fearful of being a hypocrite, then you're not a hypocrite. And if you're given the ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to adopt any type of sunnah, then you are given a gift that many people will not have.
I once heard this saying, and I don't know a word for word verbatim, but it went something along the lines of this. When I stopped caring about the desires of this dunya, when I stopped caring about the wealth, when I stopped caring about the women, when I stopped caring about things like this, and I placed my focus in the akhirah, I became like a king amongst men. I reached a status which no one else reached. I walked humbly because in fear of my Lord, but it was as if I was like regarded as higher than everybody. Like when you place your effort in the hereafter, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do, and you work hard and you do what you're supposed to do, you're gonna reach a rank higher than you could ever imagine.
Wallah, this is something I experienced firsthand. Like this right here, like in my own personal life, when I started prioritizing Allah, when I started increasing my own knowledge in Islam, like respectfully and humbly, then that's when I saw like my life became the most fruitful, right? But it reminds me of when Umar ibn Khattab, when he talks about Allah honored us with Islam, but if we were to seek honor through something else, then he would humiliate us again, right? And that's 100% true. Like I could feel like times in my life, like where I'm not as close to Allah as I once was, it just feels like, you know, everything in my life just won't go the way I want it to go, whether it be with myself or with people around me. Like you could definitely see the difference, right? And I'm not here to give my own like personal subjective views, but you know, you should go and see it for yourself. And I'm sure we all have.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing, you know, sometimes I imagine my life, like I daydream my life. I plan out my entire life. And say I got, in my head, I got some amount of money. I got all these things. But every single time my vision, my dream ends in the same thing. It's like me going to pray Maghrib in the mosque. And that's when I feel like the most happy. That's where I feel the best. And I think to myself, and I never really understood it, but like now I see that there is nothing like more, like that I love more than like just going and praying in the mosque and praying to Allah. Like I can't fulfill that anywhere else. It's something that like I have, not no one else have. It's not something like that I can chase that someone else can have and do it better than me. Like, no, it's a connection between me and Allah, and only me, like only I know about this. Mm-hmm. And only I know about how sincere I am, and only I know about like my love for Allah.
Right. Speaking about going to the mosque, like this is actually something I was actually experimenting this week again. Because remember, like I said a few months back, like I want to get back on like the routine I was on. So there was a couple days out of the week, I'd go to the gym with me and my friend. We'd go to the gym, we'd work out, and then afterwards we'd go pray Isha at the mosque. And like those times, like those days, they felt the most fulfilled. Even though like it felt like, you know, I didn't really do much other than, you know, work, go to the gym, and then go to the mosque afterwards. Then the other days, like there was a day after that, we went around our day normally. We went to the gym, and then after that, we didn't go to the mosque. We actually we went out and went to like car meets and yada 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 and stayed out late. And those days did not feel fulfilled at all. And it's just like even going to the mosque for one prayer, just like is a feeling that you can't even explain. And a fulfillment you can't even explain.
Yeah, sometimes I think to myself, what if like out of all the blessings in this world, I mean, I'm young right now. Out of all the blessings in this world, I've already found the biggest one, and I'm like, and I'm not grateful for it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd be thinking of it because Islam is like it's something really huge. Like, what if I lost it sometime down the way, and then I realize my life goes to like absolute like shit. It goes to shit. Like I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, this could be the best life gets is right here in the mosque, right here.
Right, because you gotta understand, Allah chose you.
Yeah.
Not just that, bro. Like, imagine you're not grateful for the connection you have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you start succumbing to, you know, societal norms. Oh, they tell women to uncover. They tell men to go do X, Y, and Z. So you see people who are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they seem successful on the surface. But really, you have no idea what struggles they faced or what they're going through in their like daily life. And you think that they're successful. You think that they're living a good life while you have a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't have the same materials that they have. You may not have the same wealth that they have. But wealth is in what? Wealth is in contentment. Right? So
exactly.
You see people who are going through these things, and then that starts to bring you further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you start taking people as your example that are not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you take people and regard them high above what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you, what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has done in his daily life, and you stop asking yourself, am I following the sunnah? Or my family members, are the people around me, are they going to remember me? And they're going to say like, oh, when I'm gone, this guy, man, his character, he was so generous. He always gave in charity. You never saw him that where he wasn't in the mosque. You never saw him where he wasn't praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Look, there are some people in this world, like I want you to really deep this. There are some people in this world that you only see them that they're reciting the word of Allah. This is this is the status that Allah has raised them to. For example, Yasir al-Dawsari. I've never seen him except that he's mentioning Allah's name. Mm-hmm. On social media, no matter. I've never seen him. I've never seen him except that he's in like really nice clothing. Allah has honored him. Really nice clothing. Probably smells
good. Allahumma barik.
Yeah, Allahumma barik. Really nice clothing. He has a veil on, like, and he like everything. And he's talking about Allah. He's talking to people about Allah, or that he's reciting Quran. I've never seen him except that. And there's other people to name too. Abdurrahman. So there's things like people like this, the Muhammad al-Hayden. Like, you've only seen them except, like, look at the praise. Look at the rank that Allah has raised them to. And we should aim to be like this.
And you don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for his deen?
Yeah.
Or even like Nurdin Muhammad Sadiq, Allah yarhamu, like he passed away, but yet to this day, like we're still playing his Quran on a daily basis. Like the good deeds that, you know, that he's getting for that is just crazy to think about.
And those are the deeds that like these people will leave behind, because, you know, they left behind positivity, something that, you know, can help them in their afterlife, help them in this life, and help others.
You got to think about it, though. It's helping them a lot more than it's helping us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they need it. You know, no, we all need it.
They need it. But, like, you have no idea how much it's helping you, because you listening to those words, Daniel, they're getting good deeds. But look at the good deeds you're getting, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you listen to the Quran,
you get
so you may achieve that mercy.
You know, when you listen to someone reciting Quran, you get the reward like the one who's reciting.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah. I didn't even know that. That's a crazy point that you just gave right there.
Bro, on the other hand, such a scary verse that, you know, I be hearing on a daily basis whenever I listen to Surah Muhammad is أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَقَفَالَهَا. Like, do they not reflect upon the Quran, or is there a seal upon their hearts? Imagine, like, you're one of those people, you can't reflect upon the Quran. When I listen or when I read the Quran in my mother tongue, And I'm just sitting there listening to it, and I'm able to reflect upon it. I'm like, wow, like, subhanAllah, how could somebody disbelieve in this? Or, wow, these are really the words of my Lord. Or, oh my God, like, what he's saying is 100% true. But then, like, I gotta understand that there's people out there who can't. Like, they listen to it, they want to turn it off. Like, I don't want to ever imagine my life being like that. I never want to get to the point where it's like I'm favoring music over the Quran, or I'm favoring words over the Quran, or I'm sitting there in the car and I'm trying to listen to the Quran and people are talking over it. Like, just the disrespect, you know what I mean?
Bro, and it came to a point, and I honestly didn't realize this until now. One of my favorite things to do is listen to the Quran. Because I was thinking about, what do I like to do? I was in the car, I was like, what do I like to do? I'm like, dude, one of my favorite things to do is listen. I don't feel like this anywhere else. Like, I don't know, wherever I go places, I get a mundane feeling, it's pretty boring, it's gonna end soon, I'm gonna go home and go to sleep. But when I'm listening to the Quran, it feels like, it's like ethereal, it's like, it's something else. It makes me think about my life choices, and like, and it's really the only time where I really enact change and initiative to change.
And if you ever listen to the Quran or recite it and you're not thinking of something that's life-changing, like some sort of advice that helps you change your life or help someone change their life, because to be honest with you, part of, you know, why I do content creation now is because whenever I hear the Quran or I hear hadith or something, I think of, you know, something crazy that I'm like, oh man, this can change someone's life. This changed my life. And that's all wisdom from Allah. That's hikmah from Allah. That's not from me. I don't think about, you know, how I can change my life with some crazy behind motivational words. Because they came from the Quran, they came from Allah, they came from my ability, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I can think of, you know, the words that he's sent down, and I'm like, this is going to make me a stronger person. Mm-hmm. And I want anybody who's ever like feeling this like low iman, and I'm going to bring up something that you brought up earlier, which is, you know, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of us as Muslims go about our daily life committing sins that we may not know as sins, we may not consider as sins, and then we wonder why our iman may be feeling low, why we're not feeling as focused in the prayer. What are you doing in your life that may be bringing you further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You may not have all the knowledge on the deen, and that's dangerous for you, because if you're not seeking that knowledge, then you're never going to know what you're doing wrong. And having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just mean that, you know, you live like looking over your shoulder your entire life. But no, it's more like, okay, this action, I don't know if it's halal upon me, so I'm going to stay away from it. Oh, this action, it's makruh, so I'm going to stay away from it, because I know that something disliked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although it's not haram, that's just Allah making it easier upon me. But I'm going to make it easy, even more easier upon myself, by getting rewarded for not even going near that thing. You know what I mean? Like, just because, like, let's say something that's makruh, you're not sinful for doing it, right? But do you get rewarded for it? No, you're not going to get rewarded for something that's disliked by Allah. You're going to get rewarded if you're not even doing it, right? So the best things that you can do in your life is to stay close to the sunnah, to stay close to the Quran, because you're going to be rewarded for every single one of those actions, every single intention that you do. Even if you don't commit the action, you're going to be rewarded for that. And why would you not want to chase that feeling?
Man, Islam is such a blessing, bro. Like, you can listen to the Quran, you're rewarded for it. You sneeze, you say alhamdulillah, you're rewarded for it. You know, we sit there, we listen to the Quran, we're rewarded for it. Anything that, like, good that we do, we're rewarded for it. You sit there and you're looking at the ocean, you're looking, wow, subhanAllah, look at Allah's creation. You're rewarded for that.
And I want you to think about something. You don't just have to recite Quran in your prayer. Even if you only know Surah Ikhlas or something, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said that you don't get rewarded for the Quran by any single word. You get rewarded per letter. That's 10 hasanat per letter. That alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and meem is a letter. You get rewarded 10 hasanat for every single one. Now think about that. If you're reading Surah Ikhlas 10 times over, or if you're reading Surah Al-Baqarah, or if you're reading any surah, no matter what it is, Surah Al-Fatiha the whole day, Ayatul Kursi the entire day, what happens? You read Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah, nothing stands between you and death, you and Jannah, except death, right?
Look, you want to know, you want to put it in perspective how much like the Sahaba and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read the Quran? Like, they would get up, right? They would begin praying, Surah Al-Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim, Surah Al-Baqarah, still standing. Alif Lam Mim, Surah Imran. And then Surah Nisa. They will read all that. And then Allahu Akbar, go into ruku. And then they'll get back up and they'll continue Surah Ma'idah, Surah Al-A'am. Like, that's how much they used to read. This is all in a single night.
And I remember reading that too. Yeah.
And like, it's not just like reading really fast. They're focused. Like, khushu, tears. Like, dude, who was Umar ibn Khattab? He used to have like marks on his face from how much he used to cry.
And that actually, wait, you know, something the other day, I think I was praying, right? It may have been a Jummah. And I was just thinking, about the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, questions the people who like say they believe in the Quran, yet they don't weep over its verses. And that made me start like crying in like while we were praying in Jum'ah, because the Khatib, he was, you know, talking about, you know, the people who say they believe. And he was like, I can't remember exactly what surah it was, but the verses were about those who believe, those who say they believe, yet like, you know, they don't, you know, yet they're, you know, they're hypocrites. And that just made me really think, like, bro, how many of us sit here, how many times have I sat here, you know, not really reflecting upon the Quran and how I'm supposed to be acting upon it in my daily
exactly.
life.
Exactly. It goes back to the verse I was talking about earlier in Surah Muhammad. Like, it's a scary verse to think about, like, you know, to get to that point, because there's definitely levels to it. You know what I mean? Like, being able to reflect is probably like the bare minimum. You know what I mean? Like, there's reflection, then there's, you know, crying over it, and then there's applying it to your life.
Yes, implementation. That's probably the hardest but most like rewarding one.
Because if you're not implementing the Quran and yet you're just sitting like, you know, is it really useful to you? Like, probably not. You know what I mean? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was described as what? A walking Quran. If you're not following in that footsteps of trying to be a walking Quran, then what are you doing?
That's facts. Like, you have to just change your mindset on the Quran. Yes, it's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there's no other words that have been revealed by that. But to really be able to implement the Quran in your daily life, you really got to look at it more than just a book, more than just words. That it's the blueprint, a blueprint from God to tell you, look, these are people who live their lives in a way that you shouldn't live, and these are people who lived your lives the way that you should live your life. So I'm going to tell you, live your life like this, believe in this, and Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. You're one of your best advice. Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. The most notable lesson throughout the Quran is what? It's Tawheed. Believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can you do that? By implementing that. You don't just believe, oh, Allah is one. But how do you act upon that? By consistently affirming that the oneness of Allah is La ilaha illallah. And what does that do? That constantly renews your faith. And we're here talking about, if you're ever feeling low iman, there are things that you can do in your daily life that can help you. One, you know, constantly affirming the oneness of Allah, saying La ilaha illallah. Two, there are du'as. You could say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh, changer of hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. Or you can say, Allahumma jaddid al-iman fi qalbi. Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that your iman is going to wear out like your clothes wear out. And when your clothes are worn out, you need to replace them, right? So you need to renew your faith.
So ask Allah to renew it. Yep. Let me ask you guys a question. What are some verses of the Quran, when you just hear them every time, it's like it's the same verse you hear every time, but then you're just like, you're struck by it.
Bro, there's a verse in Surah Imran where Allah is talking about Uhud, and the people, they say like, how could this happen? Because they suffered like a lot of casualties in Uhud. And Allah said, this is from yourselves. Like, I don't know, you're asking me, this is from yourself. And then they rebuttal, like, Allah also like acknowledges the people who didn't go and fight in Uhud. And he says, like, where were you guys? Like, it's like, where were you guys? They said, if you had listened to us, you guys would have died. These people, Allah says that they were closer to kufr than iman on that day, because they were saying in their with their mouths what was not in their hearts. And then it goes further on to say that if you were truthful, then prevent death for yourselves. If you were truthful, if you think you're so smart, like, oh, they wouldn't have that. If you had just stayed with us, you wouldn't have that. Then prevent death from yourselves, what you say is true. And Allah, it destroys their argument. And like, it just shows you that if you had that trust in Allah, Allah would have helped you 1,000%.
And here, I'll tell you one as well. This is one I thought of in Jum'ah while we were praying. It's the strength of a Muslim. And I'm still going to make a video about this, but I'll tell y'all right now, for anybody who's watching and listening to this, there's a verse in, I believe, Surah Hashr, right? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had we sent this down upon a mountain, it would have certainly, you know, been torn apart, right? Mm-hmm. And that made me think, what does that really mean? Not only does, you know, the strength of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, show there, because he was revealed the Quran, but what do we have? We have the entire Quran available to us to be able to read it, to memorize it, to act upon it, right? So what does that say about your strength? If a mountain would have seen the words of the Quran and been torn apart, but us, we're not weakened by the Quran, we're strengthened by it. Now think about that. A mountain gets weakened by the words of the Quran, we get stronger. SubhanAllah, that made me think, like, bro, imagine you're given the ability to choose the Quran, that Allah chose you to say, you're going to be able to understand the Quran, you're going to be able to worship me, you're going to be able to understand what, like, my names, my attributes, and worship me better, memorize the Quran, learn it, and then act upon it. The best thing that you can do is act upon the Quran. then what does that say about such a person? And that just makes me think now, like, wow, I've been given such a crazy ability that I think, oh, you know, this guy's rich. Like, no, I'm rich. Mm-hmm. I am rich. Nobody's more wealthy than me if I can read the Quran, if I can pray to Allah. Right? So, yeah, no, just that ayah has been sitting with me for the past couple of days now.
What about you?
And that's an advice.
Right, me? Look, it's like every time I hear, like, for example, right? And there's a lot of surahs like this, but, you know, it all comes around. When I hear, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, or when I hear, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ, or ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, like, this book, there is no doubt, or this book is being sent by who? The Almighty. Just hearing that, it's just like the reaffirmation. It's just like, it's like a sword hits you right in the heart. It's just like, bro, like this is coming from my Lord, bro. Like, this is a direct message to me. I'm reading this and the Quran is talking to me. Or like when I was the other day, I was to Surah Taha and it says, and Allah says, I have chosen you, so listen carefully to what I'm saying. Bro, when I heard that, I was like, that's crazy to think about. Like, me as a Muslim, Allah has chosen me. Or like, you know, to be able to listen to this and then be able to reflect upon it.
Look, you want to hear something crazy? Look at the order. So look, I want you to see Surah Fatiha and then Surah Baqarah comes right after, right? Yeah. And Surah Fatiha, we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Following that, you know, when you say, what does it say in Surah Baqarah? It says, Alif Lam Mim, Thalika al-Kitab la Rayba Fih, Hudan lil-Muttaqin. Allah has answered the dua immediately.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
you say, guide us to the straight path. And then Allah immediately, the following surah says, Alif Lam Mim, this is the book in which there is no doubt, a guidance for those who believe, or for the pious.
Wow.
Immediately following that, that's just something I noticed.
So like when you're asking to be guided upon the straight path, see like Usman, the way Usman just really like put it in perspective for anyone who's not really understanding is that the book itself is the guidance. You're asking Allah to guide you. Look towards the book, read the book, understand it, and follow it. That the way that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said. Why? Because he just said, what do people describe him as? A walking Quran. How do you become a walking Quran? By constantly reading the Quran, understanding it to the best of your ability, and acting upon it to the best of your ability. And the best way you can act upon it is obviously looking to do as much good as you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what else? You're going to fall short. You're going to sin. And when you do sin, you constantly repent. Because Allah loves those who repent. Allah loves a number of people in the Quran. He loves the pious. He loves the righteous. He loves the doers of good. But we're going to not be able to reach that status in our life. We're not going to know if we can reach that status. What's the status that you know you can reach in this life? Is a repenter. Allah loves those who repent. Jannah is full of sinners who repented. And you know that you can repent. You don't know how righteous you're going to be or how pious you're going to be because you can't place that upon yourself. That is an honor that Allah will place upon you after you've left this world. But you know you can repent knowing how sincere you are if you actually do it. And you know that you've turned away from that sin. Because when you repent, that means you're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and telling yourself that this sin that I know I wronged myself from, I'm going to try to turn away from it. I'm going to seek forgiveness from it. And I'm going to try not to do it ever again. But if I do, I'm going to constantly repent. Mm-hmm. And Allah will constantly forgive you if you are sincere.
Bro, look, listen, just the Quran itself, wow, is like such a blessing, such a mercy onto us. Like when you read the Quran and you really understand that there is truly not a book like it, just the way that it speaks to you, like when I was just saying, like when it says, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ, like that's just like so crazy to think about. Like, just like think about the fact that no one would ever think to write a book like this or to send a message out. Like think about like when you're sending a message to somebody, you don't talk in like such a manner, right? So just imagine like how it was just hearing that for the first time. Cause I know the first time, like really like, cause like obviously like growing up as a kid, like I'd listen to Surah Baqarah, but like then when I finally decided to actually look into like the meaning and everything and just looking at the simple translation, I'm just like, wow, like how could this go over my head this whole time?
But you also think about it, like you said, like listening to some of the words that are revealed in the Quran, like or the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just starts specific chapters, like watini was zaytun, by the fig and the olive. Like what? Who would say something like this besides the one who's created? Was shamsi wa duhaha.
But like think about it, the Quran, like there's so many different structures and like how it's made, like from like ring composition, the way the sentences are structured, and like how everything just flows, and yet there's. The Quran flows, but it doesn't sacrifice any meaning. Like you ever like let's say like back, like you listen to music, right? Sometimes you're listening to a song and it's just like some of the words, it just don't make no sense. Like they just said it as like a filler. Mm. But like the Quran sacrifices no meaning, yet has that flow that is, you know, what's it called? You can't replicate it.
Irreplicatable. That's a hard word to say. But yeah, no.
No, and then also you think about how the Quran was also revealed over 23 years.
And yet,
bro, and it still flowed. Like,
yeah, it was revealed over 23 years, but yet, like, there's so many different miracles within the Quran. That's why the Quran is the biggest proof of Allah's existence.
And here's what I want to leave people with. This is some advice for people who are feeling like they're low iman, and, you know, they know that they're on their own journey with the deen of Islam, knowing that, you know, the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. So you're not going to be a perfect Muslim today or tomorrow. It's going to be your entire life chasing that perfection, trying to be more pious, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can give you that honor. And that is how you are going to reach that status if you constantly chase it. But if you're telling yourself or telling others, I'm on my own journey, you know, I'll fix my connection to Allah later, then you're never going to be able to fix it because Allah knows what's in your heart. He knows your intentions better than you know them yourself. So if you're actively trying to continue to get better and recognizing your faults and trying to fix them to get closer to Allah, then eventually you will, whether you do it in this life or in the next one. Those intentions will follow you to your grave and follow you to the day of judgment because you will be judged by them. And that's some advice that I can leave you to be able to fix any low points in iman that you have, is to just continue to renew your intention, rectify your intention, and look to fix any wrongs that you've done, because wrongs that you do are done to yourself. So with that is going to close out this podcast. And I think it was a really good reminder for us and for everyone out there that this is how you fix your low points in iman. And how do you do it? Is to connect with the Quran. And with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change. So share this with your friends, your cousins, your grandmother, everybody. Make sure to join our Guided Success community. Make sure to join our Discord. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And we're not scholars, we're still students of knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.